Begin the current daf, Maseches Bava Metzia, daf Nun Zayin. Begin on the third line down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the discussion of the Mishnah for the previous daf. And that, as we mentioned, although there's generally a halacha of Aina, there's a price for it. Generally, that's the halacha called a shtus, a difference of a sixth, if it's overcharge or undercharge, that voids that excess that was charged. However, the Mishnah said there are four exceptions to this halacha. So regarding this, Amar Rava Amar Rav Chasti says, Bayir Bami. Rabami had the following question. He says, Aina, regarding Aina, that we learned in the Mishnah, that Ein Lehem, all those four items we mentioned of Avadim, Shtaris, Karkois, and Hektish, that they're not in the arena of this halacha of Aina, and there's no voiding of the sale because of a differential of a six that was overcharged. But the question that Rabami had was, Bitul Mekach, what is the halacha, as we mentioned in the previous dafim, there's generally three basic categories of a price difference that for a margin of error. There's less than a sixth, which is generally considered an automatic mechila, it's forgiven because a person, no one's exacting. Then there's exactly a sixth, which is that's the halacha of Aina. Then there's more than a sixth of a difference, which that generally creates what's called Bitul Mekach. That voids the entire sale. By a sixth, there could be that just the overcharge is given back, but the sale is valid. More than a sixth voids the sale. That's more beyond than the general margin of error. So the question Rabami had was, so we know that these four items, as we learned in the Gemara in the previous daf from the Pasuk of Aina, where we learn out that it excludes these four items. But is that only regards to halachas of Aina of a sixth? But bitl mekach, but voiding the sale when it's more than a sixth yesh lehem, then that would apply to these four items? Or would they not have even the halacha of bitl mekach? In other words, do we say that when the pasuk excludes them from al tainu, which is the pasuk of Aina, it's excluding them only from Aina, and these items, in regards to when it's more than a sixth, is not included in Aina. Rather, that's in the halacha of Mekach Tayis, of when there's being defrauded. That is, in general, we say that applies to everything. Karka, Hektish, where you're being deceptive, where let's say you're going to sell one thing, you sell a totally different item called Mekach Tayis, that would be voided, and therefore that would apply in this case too. Or the other side of the coin is, do we say that no, since even though we were calling this a Mekach Tayis, on some level it's beyond the margin, and therefore it's defrauding. It's not just a price margin, which is the halacha of Aina. Here, do we say that no? Since it's not a number where he said he's going to sell 15 and he only sells 14, that's clear deception. Here, it's not. It is an error, although it's beyond the normal margin, and therefore we generally call it Bitul Mekach, but maybe that it would still be in the category of Aina, and therefore it would not apply to these four areas for that halacha of Aina, so it wouldn't apply for Bitul Mekach. Or do we say that no, Bitul Mekach is different, and just like generally when you say you're going to sell one thing, you sell something else, would apply to these four areas, so too would more than a sixth apply for these four areas too. That was the question of Rabami. So Amar Rav Nachman said, Hadamar Rav Chasa subsequently said, meaning this was Rava who said the name of Rav Chasa, that this was Rabami's question. Rav Chasa ultimately said that Pashad Rabami. Rabami resolved the question that Aina Ein Lahem. It's only regarding the halachas of Aina Al Tainu, which is a sixth that doesn't apply to them, but Bitul Mekach Yeshlem, but for the halachas avoiding the sale, meaning when it's overcharged more than a sixth, then these four areas halacha would be, just like if you say you're going to sell one thing and it's something else, it would apply by Avadim Shtaris Karkois, that's totally deception, and the halacha would be voided, so too will be here, by more than the sixth, the sale is avoided. Now, the Gemara continues with the statements of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yirmi, which Rashi points out, they are separate statements, not going back on this statement of Rabami. It's their own statements, also regarding this same topic of, we know that these items don't have Aina, but do they have the halacha Mekach Tois, regarding Bitul Mekach? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, Ahekdeshes, he says that the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, which he disputes with Rabbi Yirmiya, was actually said on Hekdesh. And Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Karkois, he says, no, Rabbi Yechanan's statement was going on Karka, which are two out of the four items we mentioned in the Mishnah that don't have Aina. But says the Gemara, V'tarvayim mishmid Rabbi Yechanan Amar, both of them were saying it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, just one was saying it, that Rabbi Yechanan said his halacha on Hekdesh, and the other one said he said his halacha on Karka, which is Aina Ein Lehem. Again, we established in the Mishnah that these four items don't have the halacha of Aina. Even though there was a discrepancy of a sixth, the sale goes through. Bitul Mekach Yesh Lehem, but the halacha of voiding the sale, meaning when it's more than a sixth, does apply to them. So they were disagreeing. When did Rabbi Yochanan say that? Was it on Karka? Was it on Hekdesh? So the Gemara explains. The opinion that says that Rabbi Yochanan said his halacha on Hekdesh, kol shekein akar kois. For sure, all the more so that he said it on Karka too. Now the reason for that logic is, as Rashi explains, is because that what we're teaching you essentially is, if we're saying that by Hekdesh, although there's no halacha by Na, but we're saying that there is a halacha of Bitl Mekach, obviously what is inferred from Birchin's halacha is that Bitl Mekach, voiding the sale, meaning when it's beyond the margin of a six, that's not included in the halachas of a Na. Because or else we would we say find a discrepancy, which Rabbi Yochanan is saying, between more than a sixth and a sixth. So therefore, what we find is that if he was saying Rabbi Yochanan's halacha by Hekdesh, that there we would say it's considered Mekach Tais, even though, and this is the point, even though there's ultimately really no error that's possible in regards to Shemaim, Hashem, so to speak, doesn't make any mistakes, yet still he's saying Rabbi Yochanan says it on Hekdesh, that it's going to be voiding the sale. So obviously then we would say in regards to interpersonal to another human being, where there we could actually say that he did make a mistake, and it's in regards to that that he didn't want to acquire. So for sure, on regard to that point, that the person could retract. So if Rabbi Yochanan is saying his halacha, like that man da'amah that is going on Hekdesh, that although there is no halacha ve'na, but when it comes to more than a sixth, that then the person could back out, for sure when it comes to another person, even though it's a, something like karka, where we said there is no ayna, but for sure when there's more than a six, then you could back out. But mando makar kais, the one who said Rabbi Yochanan said his halacha on karka, avalek deshus loy. But regarding to Hekdesh, there he didn't say that discrepancy between the shtus, between the six, which we call ayna, and more than a six, which we call betel mekach. Because the same logic we said before, because whereas regards to another person, we say that a person can make an error, and it's regards to such a large margin of error that he didn't have that intention. But regarding Hekdesh, you can't say that, because you can't say that, so to speak, Hashem, Hekdesh, made an error. So therefore, this Manda Amr in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion held that since we said that these things, Hekdesh, are excluded from Ayna, so too there is no halacha of Mekach Tois, of making an error in regards to the sale, and therefore even if it would be a difference more than a six, there would still be no halacha of Bitl Mekach for the halachas of Hekdesh. And the reason being is because it would be Kiddush Shmuel, like Shmuel said, Dharma Shmuel, that Shmuel said, Hekdesh shavam mana. If someone has an item of Hekdesh which is worth a mana, shechila loy al shav a pruta, which is being deconsecrated, transferred onto money worth just a pruta, a copper coin, huge discrepancy, says Shmuel, mechul is going to be deconsecrated, like we said, and the reason being, like this mandama holds, because the halachas of Hekdesh are excluded from the halachas of Aino, and so too, as we said, you cannot say mekach tois, that there's an error in regards to Hekdesh, because who made the mistake? Hashem, Hekdesh doesn't make an error, and therefore, just like this Manda Amma, that regards to Hekdesh, there is no Ayna, there is no Bitl Mekach. Rabbi Yochanan only said his halacha that there would be Bitl Mekach only between a person and another person, which is by the halachas of Karka. Now, again, that's their machlokes regarding when did Rabbi Yochanan say his halacha. So the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yehuda, who he said that it applies by Hekdesh and Karka. From Tanan Hasan, we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Tamur and the Chavav Mebeis, where at the beginning of that Mishnah was saying that if someone says regarding a regular Hekdesh item which has no blemish, Harezu Tachazu, says let this animal take the place of this one, or the Zu Tamurazu, this should be transferred from this one, Zu Chalufezu, another term of transfer, or Harezu Tamurazu, Mechalelazu, different terminologies. The Mishnah there says, Loi Meklumi hasn't said anything because you cannot deconsecrate, you cannot be Mechal, a carbon that's Tum that's unblemished. But, says the Mishnah, but if the sanctified item had a blemish, then you could transfer, you could deconsecrate it. So it goes out to unconsecrated status if you're transferring it onto something else. But you have to go ahead and then supplement the money. In other words, if this item that you transferred it to of chulin was not worth the same value as the Hekdesh item that you're being mechaled from, so you have to add on monies up until it supplements the amount of how much that Hekdesh item was really worth. That's what the Mishnah says over there. On that, on Rabbi Yechon said an explanation, he says, Yatzel chulin dvartar. It says that really, biblically, it already went out to chulin, even if the thing that you mechal it onto wasn't as worth as much as the Hekdesh item. Where the reason for that is, because like we said, in regards to Hekdesh, it's excluded from the halachas of price fraud of Aina. So even though there's a big difference, it doesn't make a difference. Midvat Torah, biblically, it would be considered chil. But although the Mishnah says you have to supplement it, b'tzarch lasley dam midivrayim. That halacha that you have to pay up to how much the real value of the hekdesh was, that's only rabbinic halacha. Whereas Rish Lakish, he says, no, avtzarch lasley dam min hatayra. No, you have to, this that you have to make up the amount that you machal from. You took an item worth $100 and you machal onto something worth only 50, you got to make up that up, says Rish Lakish, that's a biblical halacha. And the reason for that is because by hekdesh, it says the term of erkecha, you have to redeem the value of it, which Rish Lakish holds erkecha means the actual value. Whereas Rabbi Yechon holds that no, erkecha means whatever money you'll value it for, whether it's more or less of how much the hekdesh item is, that would create a chil. That's their machlekes. And that explains the Gemara in culminating in the question under Biyana, but my eskina. What is the case over here in this Mishnah Masech this Tamura? That's the machlekes Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. If the difference of the value which you were taking down from Hektish and the Bimachala on the item was a sixth, on that, asked the Gemara, "Behold, lame Rish Lakish regarding that Rish Lakish said that tzarich lasley dam d'vat tayr, that you would have to supplement the amount to pay back to hekdesh from biblical law." But v'tnan, we learned our Mishnah explicitly not like that. Our Mishnah says, "Elu dvarim she'elam aynah." These are the things that halachas of aynah do not apply to, which are har karkois, land, vavodim, slaves, vashtaris, and documents, vakdeishes, and hekdesh. The halach of aynah of having to give back the money that was frauded, if it's a six, does not apply to the halach of hekdesh. So how could that be the case? Rish Lakish would say that you would have to give it back biblically. Ella rather proves the Gemara, bitl mekach. We must be talking about a case where actually the difference from the hekdesh item down to the chulun item was actually more than a sixth, what we call the voiding of the sale. That says the Gemara, behold leim Rabbi Yechon on tzarich lasley dam devrayim. So now the question is going to go the other way, and it's going to be on Rabbi Yechon. So you're telling me that Rabbi Yechon, in that case, even when the fraud, the change from the hekdesh item to the chulun item was more than a sixth, that then Rabbi Yechon says you only have to supplement it rabbinically? But Va'amr Rabbi Yehina ahekdeshes, we had this machlikas that we just mentioned before. Yehina said that Rabbi Yehina said it's halacha on hekdesh. Rabbi Yehina Amar arka kois. He says that no, Rabbi Yehina only said it's halacha on karka. Now, as we explained, v'tarvayim mishmei Rabbi Yehina, both of them were saying the name of Rabbi Yehina. And what did they say? That I know ein lohem. What does Rabbi Yehina hold that does not apply to these items? I know doesn't apply to them, which is a sixth. But bitl mekach yesh lehem. But when it's more than a sixth, the halachas do apply to them, and that's difficult on Rabbi Yehina, who he said Rabbi Yehina was going on hektish. So we have a contradiction, Rabbi Yehina, Rabbi Yehina. Here we have seemingly in Rabbi Yehina's machlekes Rish Lakish in the Mishnah Masechta Tmura that he said the halacha only applies. Halacha applies even more than a sixth, because we said it can't be the other way, because then Rish Lakish wouldn't make sense. And yet Rabbi Yehina had interpreted Rabbi Yehina that his halacha only applies by a sixth. But then more than a sixth halacha of bitl mekach would apply to hekdesh. So that the Gemara answers la'ilam bebitl mekach. Truthfully, we could say, because that was seemingly the only way of interpreting that machlekes Rabbi Yechon, Rish Lakish and the Mishnah Masechta Tmura, that they were discussing, yes, when it's more than a sixth. And seemingly we're saying that Rabbi Yechon holds his halacha, that machlekes, and seemingly Rabbi Yechon is holding that's even more than a sixth, which not like Rabbi Yehina. Says the Gemara, ve'epich Rabbi Yechon l'Rish Lakish. You have to swap the opinions, Rabbi Yechon to Rish Lakish, Ud Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechon, and you have to switch Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yechon, where again that it's actually Rabbi Yechon who holds that the requirement to return it is biblically required, and therefore that resolves Rabbi Yechon, because yes, Rabbi Yechon said that hekdesh does not apply to halacha by no, that's only when it's a shtus, but when it's more than a six, then you do have the halachas of bitl mekach by hekdesh, which is exactly how Rabbi Yechon is saying now that we switched it around, that it's only Rish Lakish that's saying it's rabbinically required, but Rabbi Yechon holds it's the biblical required. But as Rashi points out, that according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, you don't have to switch around the attributions, because according to Rabbi Yechonon, actually he holds that Rabbi Yechon's halach of Betel Mekach was only on Karka, but on Kekdish, actually there is no Betel Mekach. And that's because he holds like Shmuel, where even if it's more than a sixth, it's going to work. There is no Einod, there's no even Betel Mekach, according to his opinion in Rabbi Yechonon, and therefore you don't have to switch it around. And actually, as Rashi says, that's how the Gemara Masechta Tmura explains it, that only according to Rabbi Yehina you have to be switching around, but not according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, the Gemara, however, asks, but my kemiflegi, with what is it that Rabbi Yehina and Rish Lakish disagree, again, whether you switch around or not, but either way, there's these two opinions regarding if there is a difference of more than a sixth between what hekdesh item is worth and what it was ultimately deconsecrated onto, if you have to biblically give that money back to hekdesh or not, what's the machlekes? So the Gemara says, as we said before, b'dishmul, it's going to be in that halacha of Shmuel. Shmuel said, Hekdesh Shava Mana, if you have an item worth a mana of Hekdesh, Shechila Shava Pruta, that you deconsecrate to a copper coin, Mechulitz can be deconsecrated. So that's the Machlekes. Mar, the opinion that holds that there is no halacha of Bitl Mekach by Hekdesh, meaning even more than a sixth, it's still going to go through, that's Isli de Shmuel, because he holds like Shmuel. That since, as we explained, the Svar, the logic for that before, is because since Hekdesh is excluded from Aina, so there's no difference if it's a sixth or even more than a sixth, because although by a common person, like we said regarding Karka, you could differentiate between the sixth and more than the sixth, because more than the sixth, you could say that that's a total Mekach Tais, it's an erroneous, and it's not even a sale, but by Hekdesh, you can't say an error. Hashem doesn't make a mistake, so to speak. So therefore, that mandam holds like Shmuel. Umar, less like Shmuel, but the other opinion holds not like Shmuel, and he holds that, no, since if it's more than the sixth, that's not even considered a sale. It's not because Hashem, so to speak, makes a mistake. It's not a sale at all. So since regarding a sale, it's nothing. So too, the same thing would apply to the halachas of chil. You didn't do anything if it's more than a sixth, and therefore, it would not be considered a sale at all. It wouldn't be a chil at all. And therefore, biblically, you would have to go ahead and give that money back to Hekdesh. That's one interpretation. Ibai same, or if you want, you could say that what's the machlokes or shlokish in Rabbi Yechanan is the kulam islo de Shmuel. They're not disagreeing in the principle of Shmuel. Both of them hold up the halacha of Shmuel that if one is machal something worth a mana of Hekdesh to something worth Chesha Shavim Pruta, it would be considered chil. But v'hacha b'hacha mythic, what they're disagreeing about is Marasava, one opinion holds shechil loy in. It's only that if you went ahead and did it, then it's going to work because, as we said, that yes, like Shmuel says, that it's excluded from the halachas of Aina, and it doesn't make a difference if it's a big discrepancy or a small discrepancy. But like a tchil aloy, but initially you're not allowed to do that. And the reason being is because that opinion holds that biblically when it says erkecha, when you have to be mechal and redeem transfer the item of Hekdesh to something of chul, it has to be worth its value. So therefore, that's what's saying that you're not allowed to do that. Yes, if you do it, it's done. But then you got to go ahead and give the money back to Hekdesh. Umar Savafalikitchila, but no, the other opinion holds that no, even initially, the words Erkecha and the Torah that you have to redeem the Hekdesh means whatever value you give to it. So therefore, in regards to removing the prohibition of the Hekdesh item, that even rabbinically works. It's only that we require rabbinically for you to have to give back the money ultimately. But regarding the actual transaction, the transfer is even rabbinically that it works, and that's why. Now, halacha is that it's even like a tchila that a person could go ahead and do this and be mechal from something worth a mana to something worth even a shava pruta. So again, everyone holds that it would take effect. Question is, if initially you're allowed to go ahead and do that, that depends on how you define the word erkecha in regards to the halacha of chil. So this was all based on this first interpretation, how to answer the question from the other opinion of Rabbi Yechanan in his interpretation of Mishnah Misach Nistamura, which Rabbi Yechanan's version of Rabbi Yechanan in the halacha of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Ibai Yisim, if you want, you could give a different approach for that original question under Biyena. And that is, lo'aylam, truthfully, we could say that the Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan Shlakish is bichdei ayna. Is not like we thought we had to answer that, wait a second, if it's ayna, then how do we understand Rish Lakish? No. And therefore, we said that it must be talking about more than Ashtos, more than ayna, regarding halachas of Betel Mekech, which then made the question under Biyena. So I said, no. It's actually talking about that it's talking about a difference of a sixth. And still Rish Lakish says that biblically, even though it's Aina, you're going to have to go ahead and give that money back to Hekdesh. And therefore, V'loy Tepech. So now you're not going to have to switch around the attributions, which was the original answer we gave for Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, shortly we're going to explain why, actually, according to this approach, you actually cannot even switch around the attributions. So now how do we understand Rish Lakish? And actually, the machlekes Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan is in the halacha of Rav Chisda. Because the Amah, he says, my in lehem ayna, what does it mean by Hekdesh that it doesn't have ayna? Which that was the whole question. We said, how can we talk about by ayna? Our Mishnah says explicitly, Hekdesh doesn't have ayna. So how could Rish Lakish say, dvato, you have to give the money back to Hekdesh when there is no halacha of ayna by Hekdesh? Says Rav Chisda, it means einan b'toyres ayna. It's not in the halachas of ayna. What does that mean? Does it continue to amid beis? Da'afila pachas michdei ayna chayz. It means to say that we're actually more stringent with Hekdesh, that even less than a sixth, you have to return that money to Hekdesh. And that's the understanding of Rish Lakish. That's actually ayna. It's not more than a sixth. It's just a sixth. So why does he hold biblically you have to? It's like Rav Chisda. It's not in the toyres ayna, meaning it's different than regular hedyid. Is that even when it's less than a sixth, even when it's a sixth, you have to give that money back to Hekdesh. Now, as Rashi points out, when the Gemara said, V'loy Tepuch, it's actually saying that you cannot switch it around, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Because if you would, you actually would have a difficulty, a different contradiction with Rabbi Yochanan. Because whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot answer when the Mishnah says, in lam haynah, to say that the Mishnah is like Rav Chizda, that less than haynah, that you would actually give it back to Hekdesh, unlike a regular Hekdesh, more stringently, because Rabbi Yochanan says, and that was a statement we mentioned before, he says, haynah ein lehen, there's no haynah, but bitl mekech yashlem. But there is the halacha bitl mekech, which sounds like that only Rabbi Yochanan holds that when it's more than a sixth, then that halacha would apply to the halachas of Hekdesh. But haynah itself would not apply because you actually do not return the haynah to Hekdesh. But Rish Lakish, when you asked from our Mishnah on Rish Lakish, so that's what we're going to answer. You're going to explain that Rish Lakish is like Rav Chizda, and therefore the question doesn't even begin on Rabbi Yehuda. The whole question was based on, we thought that it's talking about halacha of more than a sixth, and we said, oh, Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to give that back. Not like Rabbi Yehuda. No, to the contrary. We're talking about actually a sixth or even less than a sixth. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, it is not difficult because, yes, it's only rabbinically then, but biblically there's actually no requirement. In Rish Lakish, how does he explain the halacha of the Mishnah? It's like Rav Chizda that Ein Lemayna means actually a stringency. In the halachas of Hekdesh, that it's even more severe, that even less than the shtos, you have to return that to Hekdesh. Now, so explain your shlakish like Rav Chizda, and a whole different spin on what the words mean in the Mishnah regarding Hekdesh. On this interpretation of Chizda, the Gemara asks Meisveh. The Gemara is from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ribis v'oino lehedyeh. The halachas of ribis, of prohibition of charging on interest, and the prohibition of fraud regards to a sale, which we say the halachas are a sixth, applies to a hedyeh, a common person, a regular, another person. But v'ein ribis v'oino lehedyeh, but the halachas of ribis, of charging on interest, and the halachas of Einah do not apply to Hekdesh, meaning that there is no prohibition of Einah and prohibition of Ribbis that apply to Hekdesh, which more later on is going to explain how do you have a case of Ribbis, when is there a loan from Hekdesh to a common person. But one thing we see clearly is that there's no halach of Einah, there's no prohibition of Einah to Hekdesh, which is not like Rav Chizda. That the Gemara answers, Mia Lima Mimas Nitin. Says the Gemara, is this any more of a question on Rav Chizda than the Mishnah? Do Kim the Betorius know? We explain, what does it mean there's no Einah for Hekdesh? I mean, it's not in the halachas of Einah that it's actually more stringent. Tachinami says the Gemara here also, it's not difficult in Rav Chizda. Ribis Vidin Einah Lehedyeh. What is the Braisa saying? That the halachas of Ribis and Einah, meaning the halacha of a shtus, of a sixth, is what applies to a common person. Vein Ribis Vidin Einah Lehekdesh. And there's no halacha of interest and the halacha of Einah, meaning to say that by Hekdesh it's actually going to be even less than Kedei Einah, is going to have to go back to Hekdesh, actually a stringency, and it was not difficult on Rav Chizda. Now the Gemara asks, Eihachi, but if that's how you're interpreting the Braisa, well then, Haine Diktani Seva, this that it says at the end of the Braisa, it says, Zeh Chaymer Behedid Me Behekdesh, it's saying that this is a stringency that applied by Hekdesh in contrast to Hekdesh. That asks the Gemara, what do you mean? It's actually a stringency of Hekdesh, because he's saying that by Hedyeh is only a sixth that you have to give it back, but by Hekdesh you have to give it back the discrepancy even less than a sixth. Now that answers the Gemara, this that it says there to say for the Braisa, that this is a stringency of a Hedyeh over Hekdesh, is going aribis on the case of interest, where that's prohibited by a commoner, but is permitted by Hekdesh. So the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, so listening nami is a chaymer behekdesh min behedyeh, but then it should have said also the opposite. It should have said this is a stringency of hekdesh over a behedyeh, I know, in the other case of I know. And because of that, it should have said a stringency in hekdesh, because it applies by hekdesh even less than the sixth. So that the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hachi hashta, can you compare the two? Can you say that? Bishlam is a chaymer behedyeh min behekdesh. It makes sense to say that this is the stringency of a hedyeh over hekdesh because of a sulai. There is no other stringency of the hedyeh has over hekdesh just in regards to halachas of ribbis. El hekdesh ze chaymer besulai. But you want us to say that this is going to be a stringency of hekdesh over hedyeh as if it sounds like nothing else? There's many more stringencies of hekdesh over hedyeh as if this was the one area that it has a stringency because it has many more stringency than just this. But now once the Gemara introduced this Braisa as a question on Rav Chizda, so the Gemara now explains, and then we resolve that question, the Gemara now asks in the case of the Braisa itself. The Gemara asks, Ribis de Hekdesh Hechadami, how could you even conceptualize such a case of a loan with interest regarding Hekdesh to say that by Hekdesh there's no halachas of Ribis, which is the stringency, the one stringency that Hedyeh has over Hekdesh, where do you find such a case? As the Gemara explains, Ilim de Eisvei Gizper, if you would entertain to say that it's talking about that the treasurer of Hekdesh lent a regular person money of Hekdesh, he lent him 100 to get paid back to Hekdesh, 120. And that's, we're saying that you're allowed to lend, you're allowed to lend from hektish money on interest, which is a leniency in regards to contrast to a hedged. And that has to gemar, but you can't say that. Because b'haloi mo'al ha'gizbar, in such a situation, actually, the treasurer has committed me'ila, misappropriation, because essentially what he has done is, he's taken money of hektish and transferred it, deconsecrated, onto chulin, which is what me'ila is, because he hasn't transferred anything back to the funds of hektish, which is an error on the part of the treasurer, because he thinks you're allowed to do that because, okay, hektish is going to be making money. It's 100 and we're getting back 120. The problem is, the only way you could do it is what's called chil. Chil is you take something of hektish and you transfer it, you consecrate it onto something else. Here, you're not getting anything back in return. Maybe a few months from now, you'll get back 120 instead of 100, but right now, that is a committing an act of me'ila of taking money of hektish and giving it to this other person. So says the Gemara, "Bekimin shemal ha'gizber." So since the treasurer of Hektish has committed me'ila, yatsu ma'isav l'chulin. Automatically, that has made the monies of Hektish into chulin. V'havilu dehedit. So essentially, that money that's being lent to that person is not money of Hektish. It's actually money of a common person, of the treasurer, because now it's his responsibility to pay back to Hektish the principal and a fifth for having committed me'ila. So actually, when he took it from Hektish to give it to that person, by his act of taking it, which is meant to be taken out of his pocket, but that act of giving it to that person, he's committing me'ilo, and therefore it's not hektish lending that person to say this halacha of no ribbis behek. There's actually the treasurer as an individual who's lending to that person. So therefore, how do we have the case of ribbis behekdish? So Rav Hoshi says, hacha ma'eskin, that the case that we're talking about over here, is he right? When it says that there's no ribbis behekdish, it's not talking about a loan, rather it's talking about a regular person, could be a distributor, that accepted upon himself responsibility and he was going to receive payment from the hektish, from the treasurer. What would that case be talking about? He took upon himself the responsibility in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a lot of different items that had to be used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. One of them is that there were carbon menaches, flower offerings that were used from the tzibur, from the public. So this person accepted upon himself responsibility to be the distributor to the hektish to supply the flour. Now, when he accepted the contract for the year, he accepted mi'arba, that for the sela that hektish is going to give him, he's going to supply 4 sa' of flour. Now, however, the price of flour ended up going up, v'amdu mishalish, and then it actually, the value went to only 3 sa' of sela, 3 sa'in worth for a coin for a seller. Now, here where this is a leniency, meaning that there is going to be an element of ribbis over here, which is permitted for hektish, which is not permitted by a regular person. We're not talking about a loan, we're talking about a sale. Because in regards to a common person, it's forbidden to create a contract and designate a certain price for produce if the market value has not been established yet. Here, the leniency regarding hektish is, even though the market has not been established yet for 4, they could go ahead and establish a market price, they could establish their contract price for 4 son for the seller, and have to follow through in it. Kedetan like Lino Braisa, which actually it's a Mishnah Masechta Shkolim that says, Hamakabala Lov Lesabik Salosis Ma'arba. If someone accepts upon himself responsibility to the Beis HaMikdash to say, look, I'll supply for you the flour, let's make a price, for 4 son for every seller you give me. And then actually the price of flour goes up. Now he already accepted the lower price. We're now really for the seller, he should only give them 3 saw. So the halach is masapik ma'arba. He still has to keep the lower contract price that he had agreed upon to give 4 saw for every seller. Now let's say it was the other way around. Mishalish v'amdu ma'arba. Let's say he had made up a lower price and actually the value went down and now actually you can get 4 saw for a seller. So then, Misapik Ma'arba has to give them the lower, later price of 4, because as the Mishnah there says, Shayat Hektish Al Yoyna, Hektish has the upper hand, whichever way it goes, if it goes up or down, he has to give them the benefit of the deal. Now, but one thing we see from the first case is that although there's an element of ribbis over there, because what happens is when they made up this contract, and then the value went, they already paid him, the Hektish gave him the Selah, but he didn't yet provide for it. So there's an element of ribbis over here where he's going to be giving them a higher value, because now it's actually only worth 3 sof every sela. He's going to be giving them 4 sof every sela, which is why by hegdit it's forbidden to do that if the shahar has not yet been established, because there's an element of ribis over there, because you're giving them, providing them more because they give you money ready, which is a benefit of holding onto money, which is what a loan on ribis really is. That is permitted by hegdit. That's the case where we say that there is no ribis by hegdit. Hegdit is allowed to take that quote ribis of sub of the sub of creating a contract, which without having the shahar and then having a gain because the money was given already. That's one approach. Rapapa, he says that truthfully, the case of that when we're saying that there's no ribis by hegdish is talking about a loan, which is the classic case of ribis, where it is, as we said before, where the hegdish is lending this person 100 to get back 120. Now the question was, but we said, wait a second, how can you have that? The gizber himself is being mail because there's no transfer to go on something else. So someone here in the hierarchy of hegdish has committed misappropriation, so it's not hegdish lending, it's the commoner. And that says, Rapapa hacha ba'avni binyan. Here what we're discussing about are the stones of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, hamesuris ligizbraskin, which is given over to the domain and the rights of the treasure of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, it's from those bricks of the Beis HaMikdash that the gizber, the treasurer, has lent to this regular person, where there is no halacha me'il over there, and therefore it's not incumbent upon the treasurer to pay back to Hekdesh. Rather, he's just considered an agent of the Beis HaMikdash. How so? Kedesh Shmuel, the Gemara explains based on halacha of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel says, the way they would do it with the building of the structure of the bricks of the Beis HaMikdash is bainin b'chayil. They would build when it was unconsecrated, the achakach makdishin, and only after they finished building would they then sanctify the bricks, the building. In other words, when they would build the hektish structures, they wouldn't take money of hektish to buy by the distributor and buy bricks and lime and cement and use it from the monies of hektish. Now, the reason why they didn't do that, like everything else that they did, they just paid hektish money and it would get deconsecrated onto the items they bought, is because when there's a building, you have all the workers over there, they might come to misappropriate them because they might sit on the brick or they might get shade from it and they might get some benefit which would be considered me'ilah. So to avoid that, they actually would buy the bricks on credit. So therefore, it wasn't yet hektishes and it was still considered chayil until it was built into the wall. Then when the whole wall was built, then what they would do is they would take the money of hektish and they would then buy that, and then that's how they would pay for the credit, and then it would become hektish. Or another way would be when if a person would donate bricks to the Beis HaMikdash, he would give it to the builder and he would say, I'm not calling it hektish yet until it's put into the building. So either way, the halacha is that the treasurer has not committed me'ilah when he lends those bricks, because the bricks are owned by hektish, so therefore it applies to the halacha of that there's no ribis by hektish, but there's no committal of me'ilah by the gizber, because it's not yet, does not have the sanctity of hektish. It has the ownership of hektish, so there's no ribis regarding monetary law, but it doesn't have prohibitory law. It's not considered the status of hektish until later, after the building is done. Now the Gemara continues, explain the halacha of the Mishnah. So besides the halachas of our parak, which the Mishnah said these 4 items of hektish and shtar and avadim and karka, that they don't have the halachas of aina, so too it mentions many different categories that they also don't apply to. And one of them is ing behen tashlumi kefil. They don't have the halachas if someone is caught having stolen, which generally the halacha is if witnesses say you have this and he's caught red-handed with the stolen thing, he has to pay double. These 4 items don't have the halacha. So the Gemara says, anonymously, where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, the Tanna, like within the Braisa, the pasuk in Shemais, which the end of that pasuk there says that Yishalem Shnayim, which is the halacha paying double, which talks about there in that pasuk regarding someone that either is a shamer who claims it was stolen from him, what's known as Tony Tainas Ganav, or by a thief himself. It says that the liability are for the following cases: Al Kol Dvar Pesha, for everything of negligence, which is a klal, a general statement; Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Seh, Al Salma. Then it says on the ox, on the donkey, on the sheep, and on the cloth. That's a prat, those are specifics. Then it says, then it says, on every lost item which he'll talk about, is chaz of a kal. It goes again back and says another general statement. It doesn't say something specific, it says any lost thing. So klal prat, the klal, that's what's known as halacha, as one yidn gibel midrash atarid and jashas behen, as a general statement, then a specific, then a general, which that is, we say, e ata dan elakeina prat. So you qualify like the specifics, not only the specifics, but the general statements then are qualified based on the specific, which ma'a prat mafur, it's just like the specifics that I mentioned here in the pasuk of Kefal, are dava hametalta b'gufa mamon, they're all movable items that are, have intrinsic worth. I've called dava hametalta b'gufa mamon, so to anything that's movable and has intrinsic worth will have the halacha if you're caught with the geneva for the payment of Kefal. Yatzu kakosh in metatlan, that excludes land which is not movable. Yatzu avadim shuksla kakosh, as we said before, that excludes slaves which are compared to land, v'snachaltam oisam. Yatzu shtaris, and that excludes documents, sha'ava pisha metatlan, because even though they're movable, but in gufa mamon, there's no intrinsic worth to the document. It's not the piece of paper that's the value, it's what it stands for. And hektashis, the reason why hektash is excluded, because amakra, the pasuk says it, but they re'ehu, that it's regards to what he steals from his friend, it's his friend, but not that of Hektish, and therefore it's only Yisham Shnaim Re'eyu, pay double to your friend, and not to Hektish, and that's why these four items are excluded. So did the Mishnah said, moreover, these items, which we explained the Mishnah as refers to Hektish, because it's only by a Shur and a Seh, there is no halacha of Dal Vehei. So the Gemara is my time, what's the reason if someone stole an ox or a sheep of Hektish and then slaughtered or sold it, he's not going to pay four or five times the amount? So the reason is because Tashlum Dad Vehem Rachman. The Torah says that liability is only when you pay four or five times the amount. V'loy Tashlum Yishleish Rabah. But it's not if you pay three or four times the amount, because the sheep is more than the sheep is less than the ox. Meaning, you're not going to pay three for the sheep and four for the ox. And the reason being is because since we just said that Kefal is excluded from the halachas of Hektish, so you already have one less. Because the halacha is, the way it works, that it becomes four or five, is that there's the principle. Then you have the kefal, and then you add on three or four, depending if it's a sheep or an ox. Now, but in this case of Hektish, you're taking out the halacha of kefal. As we said, it's not included in kefal, so you'll end up being three or four. That the Torah didn't say. It's either four or five, and since there's no kefal, so there cannot be dal behei. Moreover, the Mishnah said, the shemechinim in the nishba, so too, if one of these four items, someone is watching for free, if, let's say, it's something that normally he would be chayav for, let's say it would be a negligence, he does not take a shvua to say that it was not negligent to make him liable if he doesn't swear for that negligence. Says the Gemara, Menonimili, where do we know this from? So says the Gemara, Tashtarim Banu, because learned the Braisa, which later on in Perakar Shad of Tzadidalma Beis, the Gemara there tells us that there's different parashas that it mentions in Parashat Mishpatim, where it goes one after the other. The first parasha talks about the Shemachinim, who's watching, he's safeguarding for free. The second one's Tomas Shemasacha, who watches for pay, and so on. Now, in the first parasha, which talks about the Shemachinim, it says, V'nikrav Balabais, that the homeowner comes near, which the Gemara on Daf Memav Amad Beis, where it explained, talks about in Perakar Mafkid, regarding the Shem coming to take a Shavua, which is the shvu to say, I swear I was negligent, so therefore I'm not responsible for anything else if it got stolen or got lost. Shemachinim is exempt. So the pasuk there says in Shemais, regarding that shvua, says, Ki yitin ish el re'eyu. It says, if a man will give to his friend something to watch for free, that's a klal, it's a general statement, it doesn't say what specifically. But then it says, kesef oy kalim, to watch kesef, money, or vessels, that's a prat, that's a specific. Then, v'gunam ibeisa ish, which actually is brought on the side that in Baba Kama and Masechta Shavuos, it doesn't say Begunim Ebeisa Ish, that it was stolen from the house of the man. Actually, it says from the term of Lishmar, to safeguard. But either way, it says a general statement, Chazav HaKol, goes back and says a general statement. So that's again, as we know, called the Klal HaPrat, the Klal, general, specific, and the general, which Halacha tells us, Iyat Adon Elikein HaPrat. This liability of the Shemichinam to have to swear is only like the specifics that I mentioned over there, which are Mahaprat Mefurish Dav Metal Tavuguf Mamon, just like those two things mentioned, are movable items and have intrinsic worth. I've called Dav Metal Tavuguf Mamon, so to anything like silver, like which actual money or utensils, that if they're movable and have their intrinsic worth, then the Shemachinim will be liable for a Shvua that he wasn't negligent. Yatzur karkoish imatal. That excludes land which is not movable. Yatzur avadim shuksta karkoish. That excludes land which we said is compared to slaves. That's compared to land. Yatzur shtars. That excludes documents. Sha'af bishem matatlin. Even though it's movable, inguv a mamon does not have intrinsic worth. And hekdeshus regarding hektish. Amakor re'eyu. The Torah says to his friend re'eyu b'leishal hektish. His friend and not of hektish, who's not called his friend. So to the Mishnah said noisy sacher einem shalom. If he's watching for pay, which generally a Shem Masach is liable if it gets stolen or gets lost, regarding these four items, if he's watching, he's not going to be chayav. Says the Gemara, Menonimili, where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, the Tanbun, like we learned in the Braisa. The pasuk in Shemai says, this time by the parasha of Shemr Sacher, says, Kiyidin ishel re'eyu, if a man will give to his friend, something to watch for pay, that's a klal, it's a general statement. Then it says, a chamoy, or a shoy, or a sed, says, a donkey, or an ox, or a sheep, parat, those are specifics. Then it says, v'chol behem, an old animal, lishmer, to watch. That's chaz b'kol, goes back and says a general statement again. Klal, prat, a klal, you have a general, specific, and a general. Yata daniel kena prat, so you qualify it similar to the specific. Maha prat, meforish dava, metal, the b'guv, and mama, just like the specifics mentioned over there are movable items, which they're animals, that they're, and they're movable, and they have intrinsic worth. I've called love and metal of a guvam. So to anything that's movable has intrinsic worth, that is something Hashem Mesach would be chai for Geneva and Aveda. Yetzu karkoi, she'en metal, that excludes land which is not movable. Yetzu avon, shukhtu karkoi, that excludes slaves which are compared to land. Yetzu shtaris, that excludes documents. Sha'af b'isha metal, even though it's movable in guvam, it does not have intrinsic worth. And ekdashis, amakra re'eyu, regarding hektish, the Torah says over there, re'eyu, which again tells us re'eyu, b'leishal hektish, it's his friend, and now regarding hektish, that's how we know these three things, the same concept, which is that there's no kefil, and there's no dal v'hei, and neither is there going to be a shvu by shemechinim, or a payment by shemesachar, regarding these four items of the Mishnah of karka, avadim, shtaris, and hektish.